Joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline is Will Leitch, MLB columnist and contributing editor for New York Magazine. Will, how are you doing today? Thanks for coming in. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Hope everyone's doing all right over there.
We're hanging
in.
We are.
Things are starting to open back up as it is across the rest of the country. You wrote an article today about what sports leagues need to answer now in order to start their seasons or resume their seasons. What are your thoughts on how sports leagues have handled it thus far?
Yeah, you know, they've actually been maybe a little bit more aggressive than I would have thought. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, but certainly, they clearly have seen a lot of urgency in this in ways that, frankly, I think they've benefited a lot. Benefit is the correct word. But by a lot of the governors that are opening up their states more regularly. You know, I think now a lot of states are starting to open up more. But at first, you know, it was Georgia, where I am, and like Colorado and a couple other places. And they were legitimately talking about playing all their games there if they had to, or moving their teams around. I think that, you know, they are seeing an opportunity to try to fit this in while they can. And there's a lot of things that we might have assumed would be the case 3 months ago that we might not now. Like, for example, you know, the NBA famously shut down when one player tested positive for the coronavirus. I'm not necessarily certain a league would do that right now. If their season started, I'm not sure if there were one player that tested positive, they would immediately shut it down. I'll put it this way. If that is the case, they definitely shouldn't even bother because I think that the odds of that happening are probably pretty high. So they're being aggressive about it. I think, frankly, I'm not sure there's anyone with more urgency about it than baseball, because, you know, every sport has a ticking clock, but really no sport has more of a ticking clock than baseball does right now.
Will, you talk a little bit about let's stick with baseball for just a second, and obviously already the owners have approved the plan to get baseball back underway. The players are probably going to balk at the plan to get baseball back underway under the current way it's aligned. Most people out there are going to think it's because of greed and money. But I think that greed and money aside, even if they're able to work on all those things, it's going to be very difficult for baseball or for anybody to convince all of these players that they're going to be safe and protected to go out and play. Don't you think that is something that, with the information we have right now, is kind of a pretty big stumbling point?
Yeah, you know, I think you guys probably talked about it, but Sean Doolittle, the pitcher for the Nationals, had a very, I think, kind of eloquent and intelligent Twitter thread about this the other day, about how, listen, everyone is excited for baseball to be back and the possibility of baseball being back. And also, I do think Major League Baseball had to kind of start moving now on this, even with still a lot of questions in the air, because if you're going to get a season in, you kind of do need to start around the 4th of July to get a half season in, theoretically. Yeah. And so you have to at least kind of start thinking about it now, even if not all of those questions have been answered. What I find interesting is it's one thing to say, you know what, we haven't figured out all of this yet, and then there's things we're going to put in place to help to work on safety and do the best we can, and here's our plan. They haven't figured all that out, and I actually kind of understand that that's not all been nailed down yet. Yeah. However, when you add that then to, oh, also you have to agree to, the owners say that you players have to agree to our terms on this, when, you know, not for nothing, but the owners are the ones up in the luxury box watching the game socially distanced from everyone, while the players actually have to be the ones that go out and play it. And I think that, you know, I think the players, I do think it was probably some savvy PR on the sake of the owners. I've actually heard the way the stories came out yesterday about this, for my friends that don't follow sports that closely, and came to me and said, hey, looks like baseball's coming back. That's great news. Mm-hmm. And not that, you know, because that was the way the story kind of came out, as opposed to, now the players have to approve this plan. Like, there's assumption that it's happening. The owners have kind of put the onus on the players to say, oh, well, if you don't want baseball, you won't agree to this. Well, why don't you want baseball? What do you want to take this away from America for?
Right.
And I think it's kind of unfair. Like, it's pretty unfair, but, you know, that is also how business tends to work in this country. If I'm the players, you know, I think my arguments would be threefold about this, which is, one, the obvious safety aspect, which I think is the biggest aspect, particularly because not all of that's nailed down. Also, the idea that you know, they did actually come to an agreement. One of the reasons that the draft is only five rounds this year is because at the beginning of the pandemic, the players came to an agreement with their owners with the understanding that this was the deal. Now the owners are trying to come back and saying because there likely will not be fans at the game, then they should have to give up less revenue, which is not what they agreed on. So I can understand players' view on that. And also, I think that maybe even a large issue, and I think probably the largest philosophical issue is, sure, baseball is going to have decreased revenues this year, which is why they're going to the players and saying they should take less money. It is worth noting that the last couple of years, baseball has had higher revenues than what was expected. And I couldn't help but notice that they did not actually pass that savings along to the player. So I think that I have to say, if I were a player, those would be three pretty strong arguments. The owners, however, would put in the argument of the one they're doing, which is basically, wait, I'm sorry, you don't want to play baseball because you have to. Here's our plan to put it together. So it feels like these are not insurmountable issues. It feels like you should be able to figure out something. But listen, you know, you guys are in baseball. I'm in baseball. Everyone's been kind of worried about after 2021, right? When the CBA is up, it felt like there was combativeness coming up. Kind of looks like we're getting a preview of it, a little year and a half early version, except there's like 3 weeks to figure it out. And also, it's hard to come up. I'll put it this way. Baseball is often, a lot of people accuse baseball of shooting itself in the foot sometimes and getting its own way. I cannot think of an act that would be more self-destructive for baseball than to actually be able to get everything back. And the science works out okay, and people want it. People obviously, clearly, desperately want it. They get it all set up to go, and then they can't come to a financial agreement, and it doesn't happen. That is, the ramifications of that for baseball, I think, are pretty terrifying in both the short and the long term.
Yeah, everything you just said, Will, is, I think, it has been done in a purposeful fashion, right? The leakage of how it was presented to the people and forcing the players into a box almost to kind of have to fight this out in a public, really, form, in which this should be done behind closed doors. But that doesn't, we'll leave that for these next couple of weeks to see how things shake off. But I totally agree with you. In terms of what that was in the proposal, in terms of the actual baseball product, how exciting do you think potentially this season could be with 82 games plus the two playoff teams that are added to each league?
Oh yeah, I think if it happens, it will be really fun. I think the idea of having every game, you know, basically every game be worth two games is, I mean, but to point out, like every game is, like every game you lose is a doubleheader sweep, is the way to think of it that way. And that is exciting. And with that extra team, it does, not only does it bring something exciting to the table, it also brings, like, hey, for crying out loud, if you're, I mean, in 80 games, who knows what can happen? Like, a team could, we've had teams win 83 games and sneak in the playoffs and win the World Series. Imagine what can happen if you cut the number of games in half on that. You know, to me, if that happens, everybody's in this, right? Like, if there's an extra wild card team, I mean, maybe the Orioles or Tigers, maybe not. But other than that, it feels like every team in baseball is, like, there's the old joke about baseball that, like, listen, if you put the Orioles against, say, the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Astros in a 7-game series, the Orioles would probably win that 15 to 16% of the time, maybe a little bit more, just because baseball is what it is. Yeah. Imagine that going in, like, basically a tournament-type atmosphere. It's very exciting, and, you know, you think of the opportunities that happen. It would be fun, and I also think, too, because so much of it would happen regionally, because the East would play against the East, and the Central gets the Central, West against the West, that just intensifies it even more, because you're always seeing divisional games. To me, I think it would be a blast. I think it would be a really, really fun thing. But again, I know we talked about the labor issues a little bit. Not, like, even if they get the labor issues figured out, there's a lot of balls in the air on this.
They have
to decide that. Like, that is a legitimate question that we don't currently have the answer to. Two key questions. One, if a player tests positive, is it all over? Are we done? Are we just dropping it right there? Or do you quarantine the player, quarantine the team? Do they have to skip a week? Dr. Fauci was talking to Peter King about that at the NFL. And said if four players tested positive on a Saturday night, the team might not be able to play for a couple of weeks. How do you deal with that in the middle of the season? Like, there's a lot of questions then. And two, you know, the idea, like what you talked about earlier, What if a player says, you know what, I'm immunocompromised, or I live with my elderly parents and I don't want to do anything to put them in danger. If they say, I don't feel comfortable playing, how does that work? How does that work? How does their contract work? Now, that's a question for kind of all American workers right now in a lot of places that are coming back to work. But certainly in a public, high-profile fashion like this, it's a huge, huge question for baseball.
I think I saw 22 teams. If we were to apply this format to last year, around the same, about 72 games, 10 games left, 22 teams would have been in the thick of having a chance to get to the playoffs. That's the ultimate goal for Major League Baseball, is to have that many teams involved in it at the end.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, it's enough games to where it feels like we'll never consider this like full canon all the way through. Like some counting numbers will all be a little skewed from this year. But 81 games is enough that if you play 80 games and have a playoffs and crown a World Series, I think it counts. Like, I don't think it will feel fake. It reminds me a little bit of the 99 NBA season when the Knicks and the Spurs played in that final.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this fluke. The Knicks were an eight seed, but it was enough of a season to where if they'd have won the title, trust me, they would have had a parade on the Kings of Heroes in New York. Like, it still counts, you know? So 80 games feel, again, it will always, there's always going to be an asterisk on this season in baseball and football and every single sport that's going on. There's going to be an asterisk on this season in America. Like, everything about this year feels like a little off, and I think we'll always kind of remain off in a difficult time. But I think 80 games is enough to say, yep, you know what, this is enough to feel like you have a legitimate champion if you get there. If you get down to like 50 games, then it starts to feel like a little league tournament or like a double elimination tournament.
Right,
then if you're going to get that low, you might as well just have like a March Madness exhibition bracket sort of thing. But 80 games, to me, it seems just about enough to make it real.
Will Leitch, great stuff, MLB insider and also an editor for the New Yorker, New York Magazine, joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Will, appreciate the time. Real quick, just get your thoughts on The Last Dance, and have you learned anything interesting in that you didn't know before, or has it just been fun to kind of sit back and reminisce?
It's been certainly an enjoyable watch. I will confess, if I were going to win multiple titles with a teammate of a superstar, I think I would enjoy doing it more with LeBron than I would enjoy doing it with Michael Jordan. I think, whatever your thoughts, I will say that Michael Jordan is certainly an all-time champion. But that great quote at the end of the last episode, he's like, I'm sorry, this is the only way I know how to do it. I'm just trying to win championships. I have to be a jerk. That's how you win championships. And there's like literally dozens of superstars be like, actually, there's other ways to win championships other than to punching your teammates. So, like, it's fun to see Jordan and to watch. I was in college in Illinois during that time, so to see all of that old footage is really, really wonderful. I'm not sure I've gotten a lot of insight into Jordan other than I maybe enjoy him more as a player than as, like, say, a roommate. I think Michael Jordan would be a tough roommate.
Yeah.
See, I think the opposite. I think I would enjoy it much more as a roommate as
you
opposed
do.
To being
as
a
teammate.
Yeah. I don't think I definitely don't want to be a teammate. I think I would just rather have played in a different era entirely. One way or the other. A teammate or an opponent, neither seems very fun.
No, no doubt about it. Will, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us, man. We're gonna let you get out of here, and hopefully when we talk again we'll have some baseball to talk about.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Stay safe, guys. Thanks for having me.
You too.